Good morning. Kyle, we're going to jump ahead to that first exercise. Another way that we can praise God is actually in silence. And that can be really uncomfortable for people because, you know, in silence our brains start to wander a bit, or we panic because, you know, we have so much that we need to be thinking about. And so during this time, we're going to throw up a passage of Scripture about praising God. And what we want us to do together is just sit in silence, and we'll spend about a minute just thinking about and praising God based off of that passage. So we have four passages, and so let's throw up the first one, Kyle, and just bring your thoughts and your attention and your whole being towards God right now. Thank you. as we continue in our time together, we have our online family also that's part of us, and there's a chat feature if you folks online want to use it to type in your praises to God, just to encourage each other, and we'll read some of them here if they come in. But as we entered this summer, I took some time for a personal reflection on my relationship with God, and for me, something was off. My wife saw it, my family saw it, I saw it. And while listening to a podcast, I heard a speaker talk about union with Christ and communion with Christ. And when we enter a relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters us, God in us. And when we recognize the guilt on us because of sin and the separation that that sin causes, we have an opportunity to confess that sin and repent of it, turn from it. And because Jesus took our sin on himself on the cross, we become freed from that guilt and condemnation, and we enter union with God. We're sealed, and the Holy Spirit is the one who confirms it in us. We become children of God. And that union, it seals us for a life of following Jesus and an eternity with Jesus. What it doesn't automatically do is place me in a growing communion or relationship with Christ. That takes time and maturing. And what was revealed to me was that I had been living more from my union with Christ instead of also being in communion with him. And so a shift was needed, and I began to practice small moments of silence and stillness, simply being in God's presence. And the Psalms are a huge help in that. And Psalm 103 is one of those psalms that helped me rest in the Father's love, in the Son's grace, and in the Holy Spirit's comfort. And I just want to read Psalm 103, 1-5, for us all. I'll read it a couple of times during this time. But it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles." And the heartbeat of Psalm 103 is a picture of the Father heart of God for us. And it's a song of praise that King David wrote, being completely devoted to God out of love and compassion. And it's an invitation for us today to lift our hearts and minds to God in praise. And there's something interesting in this psalm. It's important for us. David in this psalm calls himself to praise God. Have you ever called yourself to praise God? I haven't. Okay? So on three, you're going to say your name and you're going to tell yourself to praise God. This is what it was like for David to do this. Ready? So your name, not my name, your name, and praise God. 1, 2, 3. Craig, praise God, right? Now imagine building that into a practice in our lives and seeing what God does with it. It sounds a little bit funny, and yet that's what David does here. And he experienced that. And it's what we need to know today is that only God can satisfy the deepest desires of our heart. We don't know for sure when David wrote this psalm, but he was someone who found himself in some of the worst situations. A lot of times it was his own fault. Sometimes it was someone else's fault. But we do know that this is what God said about David. He is a man after my own heart. But he didn't always reflect that. I mean, he manipulated and abused a married woman, then killed her husband because he found out she was pregnant with his child. He took a census of all the fighting men of Israel when he was told not to, and a lot of people died because of it. He was displaced by his son and had to flee for his life. He had to end a close friendship because of a father's hatred. And he was chased around constantly by the man who would replace him as king, or that he would replace as king. So he knew hardship and joy. He knew what it meant to follow God even in the bad times. And what I love about the life of David, and by many standards, he wouldn't be a Christian leader today because of what he did. He would be in jail. But one of the things that separate him from many people today, leaders today, when he was confronted with his sin, sometimes he tried to hide it, but once he was confronted with it, once it was public, he didn't always do it healthy, he acknowledged it, confessed it, repented of it, and turned from it. He didn't show regret for being caught. He showed regret for his sin. And he was willing to face those consequences. And when given the choice of consequence and punishment, he always turned to God. In one instance, when he was going to be judged, he was given three options. And the one he chose, he said, "Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but don't let me fall into human hands." That's a little picture of David. He knew the father heart of God, not the type of heart that's in an earthly father, which is broken and weak and flawed, but the heart of a perfect, loving father that's reflected in Psalm 103. And in this psalm, David is kind of self-talking here. I don't know if you've done that. Athletes will do it. Speakers sometimes will do it before they, you know, go on stage. Maybe you do it before you're, you know, doing a presentation for work or for school, right? You're like, we're going to do this. We got this, right? Getting yourself motivated. But whatever situation he was in at the time of writing this, he was reminding himself of God and the many benefits and blessings found in God. And what does it look like to, like, blessing God? And the word bless here, it means to use words in such a way that it shows appreciation, gratitude, respect, relationship, goodwill. It's always putting the one blessed above the person offering the blessing. And why would we do this with God? Because only God can satisfy the deepest desires of my life. Let's read that verses 1 to 5 again. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And if you're a follower of Jesus, this is something you can remind yourself of daily just by reading this. God's heart is for us. He wants us to know him and his blessings. He forgives all our sins. And forgiveness is the foundation for a right relationship, for fellowship. This is something that's echoed throughout the Bible and in the famous verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I'd like the band to come up again as we look to our next exercise. But there's a link between forgiveness and healing. It's significant. And this word for disease, it has the idea of physical, but also emotional, and broader to the land also. And when you look at life with our emotional problems, our physical problems, the effects of sin on both of those areas, it cries out for God to heal. And that does happen through Jesus. Sometimes we forget that or we lose perspective. But God isn't sitting passively by and watching. He's with us. So let's stand together and spend time praising him in song.
Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise, let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let faith arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you.
You can have a seat. In that passage in Psalm 103, it talks about falling into a pit. I don't know if you've ever fallen to any kind of pit, but the idea in this passage is that it's a dark, oppressive, and it feels hopeless. And that is everyone's life apart from Christ. We can try to create meaning and light and purpose, but ultimately, we can't see past death. And that creates a pit in our lives that has to be dealt with either through ignorance, rejection, or acceptance of Jesus. But here David is reminding himself of how God redeemed him, brought him out of that pit. And as we look at the life of David, there were a few pits he wound up in. But still there was that crown. And this is where you see the father heart of God in a big way. Not only does he rescue and forgive, but he says, here is a crown for you. You are part of my royal family. Not necessarily a physical crown, but an eternal one, of love and compassion and of true identity and communion with God. And we have so many weights on us in life that make us old before we should start acting old. But these three verses proclaim something that should lift our spirits and satisfy our souls so that our youth is renewed. I saw this in my grandpa all the way until his death. In the last few years of his life, he had dementia, but not when it came to the promises of God. Those stayed with him. Not because he only started to remind himself of them in the bad years, but because he held on to them and reminded himself of them in his good years. And so right now, we want to do another exercise. We want to actually practice praise out loud. And because this room eats up sound, and because some of our family is joining us online, I want us to use the mics up here, invite you to use them. And so that everyone can hear, so that our folks online can hear. If you're on the chat, type your praises in the chat or interact with each other wherever you are. And let's go from there. So please feel free to come up and practice. Go to the next slide. Yes. Just answer that question. Or not question, that the start of that statement. God, I praise you. So.
Anybody had ever been in the pit, and when I was in my 30s, I was in the pit of depression, and that is when I met Jesus. And Psalm 103 has always been, or a long time, has been my favorite, one of my favorite psalms. But one of the things that challenged me one day, which was a good thing, was it says that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And I did not believe that. So how could I praise a God from the depth of my heart, my soul, if I believed that he was angry, waiting to punish me, and that he was not, I did not believe that he was who he said he was. And that is an ongoing thing for me, to realize that I still believe lies about God. And it is my joy to pursue God through my Bible, with my friends, and find out more and more who Jesus says he is, and that I want to become more like Jesus every day. Praise God.
I'm actually not just checking my phone, I'm online with people. Sure. Who said that?
God, I praise you for Christian community. You don't know how fortunate we are to have brothers and sisters that love, accept, and forgive you. That is such a blessing. I praise God for that.
Yes, I'm a visitor in this church today, and I praise God for the opportunity I have to be here, because my granddaughter's going to be baptized. The benefits that you get from your children, I'm Dawn's father, Michelle's grandfather, the benefits that you get, I praise the Lord every day for them, and I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life and what he's done in my children and my grandchildren's life. Thank you.
I encourage you to get involved. It's your time. I just believe that if you get involved, it won't be a boring time for sure. And if you bring yourself forward and do what you say you're going to do, don't be the guy that refers as the self-referral for everything, because in my time, I found a female companion in my life. She's changed the world. Women tend to do that with people. And I guess All I'm saying is, if you want to try something new, be the doer, be the guy that can answer and solve and tackle anything with you, because I think that's just the right thing to do. And don't be like, yo, I know somebody, you know somebody, right? Okay.
God, I praise you for the trials of life. If you name the name of Christ, they're not really trials, they're gifts. It depends on your focus, right? So thank you, Lord, for the many trials I've experienced. I've grown because of them. I've grown that much. But, anyhow, God bless you all.
I'm a 3-week visitor as well, waiting for my transmission, stuck in Prince George. So my prayer this morning, I wrote a prayer, and I'll preface it with, God, I praise you. I want to do the tasks you set before me, follow the paths you show me, encourage the people I encounter. I want to have no other life than the one you give me, for apart from that, there is empty toil, worry, and envy. You continue to give me many, many wonderful gifts. I acknowledge and delight in each one. Your provision is ever evident. You are the God who sustains me. You are my God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
I just wanted to thank Nestle Bible Camp. I was there as a grandpa this past week, and it was an awesome place to be. And some of the kids were asked if they wanted to give their life to Jesus, and quite a few kids did. So that was the amazing. Praise God for that. Thank you.
I praise God for my wife, Arlene. It's been a pleasure and a joy to have a companion to serve God together with, and to enjoy His beauty and His creation and His love together. And I just thank God for that.
God, I praise you for all the friends that I have, whether they're here in Prince George or around the world.
Awesome.
God, I praise you that when you say you're compassionate, it means that you suffer with us.
As we move into the last bit of our time, just a story from a missionary named Robert Kennedy. He was in South America once, and he was visiting a jungle in the Amazon. And there he talked with a Brazilian who had recently come to know Christ. And working through a translator, the communication, it was strange. So the salvation of this newly converted man was unknown to Kennedy. And he innocently asked him, "What do you most like to do?" And he expected to receive just a generic answer, you know, bows and arrows and hunting or canoeing. But to his amazement, the man said, being occupied with God. And he was stunned with that response, so he asked him to say it again. And the man gave the same answer. The constant preoccupation of this new believer was simply God. And that would be all of us. Not that we don't think about other things, but that our most favorite thoughts are on God Himself. And one of the highlights together, the surprise is gone because Michaela's grandpa already let you know, is that when we hear testimonies and see people take steps of obedience towards Christ, that is a practice of praise. So I want to invite Michaela and Rob to come and share with us.
Thank you, Craig, and thanks, congregation, for sharing the praises of God, which we know, as even as we're hearing today amongst us. We praise God for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes they're awesome reasons. They're blue sky, bright sunny days. Other times they're not so much, but we still declare God's praise as he meets us and moves among us. And so, as Craig said, today we have the opportunity to hear a bit of a faith journey of one of our young adults, Michaela Christensen, and to encourage her and to walk with her as she takes this step of obedience. What is she doing today? She's following Jesus' command in baptism. And for those of you who might not know what exactly that is, baptism is a practice that we do as the disciples of Jesus, as the Christian church, because Jesus invited us to, directed us to be baptized upon confession of our faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone for the salvation for our sins, for healing our, for forgiving us all of our sins, as we've been reading about and hearing about even today. And so we do that. We practice baptism by going into water, which me and Michaela are in here right now. It's quite comfortable, actually. We might be here for a while. We immerse, in this case today, Michaela, in water, and we put her underwater just momentarily, and it is representation of our death with Jesus Christ, our death to sin, our cleansing that only Jesus gives to us, and rising from these waters, which indicate this new life that Jesus has given to us. It's something that Jesus has commanded all those who place their faith in him to be baptized. And so today, Michaela is going to share her story with us, and then we'll baptize her. So, Michaela, please.
Good morning, everyone. Just put that right there. My name is Michaela Christensen. I was born and raised in Prince George, BC by a Christian family, and I've been attending Westwood Church ever since I was a child. And I remember giving my life to Jesus through prayer at Sunday school at a very young age as a part of one of the customs. But at the time, I didn't really know what it meant to be a follower of Christ, and I just kind of knew that it's what my parents did, so it had to be right. And to be honest, as a kid, I was more interested in hockey and one day maybe even making the NHL, as you would expect most little girls to dream of. Many of you who have known me as a kid recall my obsession with hockey and how it kind of completely changed my identity. I was told that only boys could play hockey or be good at hockey or like superheroes, or the list goes on and on. I was fed a lie that because of the things I like and I enjoyed, I wasn't good enough to be a girl. So I started to dress like a boy, became so ashamed of myself, and especially when my parents would tell others that I was actually a girl. But God had so much in store for me as a young girl, and eventually a woman of God. And it took until grade 5 when my mom asked me, "Why are you doing this?" And I had no response. I didn't know why I thought I had to change who I was and my whole identity because of the passion and the gift that God had given me. One verse back then that really was an encouragement was Psalm 139:14. And it says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that fully well." Yes, I can play hockey like a girl and be proud of it and enjoy kicking little boys' butts. And that's because of the gift that God has given me. As I started pursuing my relationship with God a little more through youth group, while simultaneously ensuing my passion for playing high-level women's hockey, I received an opportunity of a lifetime. A new female hockey program at Shawnigan Lake School noticed me. They spoke to me about their hockey program and wanted to recruit me for their inaugural season. I got really excited, wondering if this was my chance to leave Prince George and excel at a sport I love. The coach wanted me to come down to the school and visit the campus, as it was a boarding school on Vancouver Island. My parents were quite hesitant about the whole scenario, as the school was way too much money, and the only way we could afford it is if we got some financial assistance. We toured the school, and it was amazing, but I could tell by the look on my parents' face that I was probably never going to be entering those gates ever again. So as we departed from our visit, I spoke to God, saying, "I'm going to give this whole decision to you. Let your will be done and not mine." In that moment, I had peace, knowing I gave it all to God to control, and not myself or my parents. A couple months went by, and no response, until finally one day I got a call from my parents telling me that Shaunigan had put in enough financial aid that I would be able to go to the school for grade 10, 11, and 12. I was shocked. I had completely stopped thinking about the school because I didn't want to be disappointed if I couldn't go. But I knew that the right decision was to go, as it was his will and he provided a way for me. Unfortunately, my life there wasn't as perfect as can be. I still faced many trials that only God could help me through. In grade 11, I began my journey of contacting university hockey coaches to see if any Canadian school had interest in my hockey abilities. In March of that year, I had been invited to a scouting camp at the University of Calgary. I was so excited, as I thought for sure this was my dream school, and this is where I wanted to play hockey and go to school. And of course, I had one of the worst weekends of hockey I've ever had in my life. I was rattled. I could tell the coaches had no interest in me, and I was crushed. The whole drive back, I was defeated. I thought I blew my one shot at getting to university hockey. However, as I was sitting in the van asking God why it didn't work out, I got a call from the scouting coach at Brock University. I answered, and he was very interested in me and was going to pay for my visit to come to the school and try out in St. Catharines, Ontario. Again, God blessed me with a second chance to rely on him for my future, and I grasped at the opportunity he had given me. In my final year at Shaunigan, I faced one of the toughest injuries of all, a concussion. I suffered a concussion while playing hockey in Toronto, right in front of the Brock scouting coach. I know what you're thinking, a very good time for a goalie to punch you in the face. It was one of the worst injuries I'd ever experienced, and I was pleading to God, wondering why this had to happen. But the concussion taught me a very difficult lesson about trusting in God's perfect healing process, something I had never personally had to experience, but have seen through both my older sister and younger brother. Laying in bed, wondering when the headache was going to stop, was really hard for me. I was so confused about why God would let this happen to me. But as I look back on the situation, I know that it grew me closer to God and to my siblings. As some of you may know, my brother and sister have gone through so many medical hardships that I quite frankly have no idea the toll that it's taken on them. But I know that the strength of God that they've been blessed with while they were going through their darkest hour is the exact same that's been inside me. So I stayed patient with God's healing plan. It was back on the ice before the end of the season. Leaving Shaunigan behind was definitely one of the tough seasons of my life. I had so many amazing friends, great teachers, and coaches, and I absolutely fell in love with school and living on the island. I thought it was so unfair that God would bless me with a great gift and take it right away from me after I graduated. I was stubborn, entitled, wondering why I had to work and live here. I only have one friend here, God. Why can't we just move to Vancouver Island where I'll always be happy? I'm embarrassed to admit that as I was having that train of thought. I had gotten so caught up in God's blessing and so focused on how that was fulfilling me and not how Shaunigan was actually a blessing and I should be worshiping the Creator who had given it to me. Although I was having these thoughts, I was still excited about my new opportunity to play for Brock Women's Hockey and starting my degree in kinesiology. One of the first Sundays at Brock, I attended a small church on campus I had heard about. And as the service was just finishing, I was about to get up and leave. And a girl sitting behind me goes, Hey, I recognize you. You're on our floor of residence. Not only was she on my floor, but her and her Christian roommate were directly beside my dorm room. What a blessing. It still amazes me to this day how God provided me with the most amazing Christian friend group, and I only had to take 2 steps out of my door to see them. God blessed me with something I didn't know I needed, a tight-knit Christian community. I began to go to Bible study with them, church, have meals with them whenever I could, and they became my biggest fans. Due to the support of my friend group, I started to pick up my Bible off the shelf again and learn more about Jesus. In February of that year, I suffered my second concussion against Nipissing. Again, another terrible situation, as this one was right before the playoffs. The second concussion was way more agonizing than the first time around. I had to juggle trying to get better for playoffs, notifying professors, and doing as much work as I could, asking classmates for help and notes. It was quite the headache, literally. But then COVID happened, and everything shut down, luckily sending me home to help me with my concussion recovery. That season of my life was really hard to comprehend. Getting a concussion again, remembering all the pain and struggling I went through the first time, and I had to do that without the same friends right beside me, like last time. When I was first concussed, I really relied on some of my friends at Shawnigan to help me through. And the second time around, I was expecting that same treatment and fulfillment from them. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Some of those relationships were really hard to keep in touch with, and they were no longer the same. It's heartbreaking to not be heard from your friends or lose friends due to distance. This was my lowest of lows. I felt abandoned, shamed, and fear surrounded me. But during COVID, I was really able to dive deep into a relationship with God like I'd never had before, understanding that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He will fulfill me. It was freeing. I really saw God's love, and I took the time to learn more about Him, and I was blown away that He could turn my biggest mistakes, failures, or upsets into His victory. I had been on such a spiritual high, learning and overflowing my mind with God's amazing love. Sometimes your world just needs to fall apart before God can build it up again on a firm foundation. Fast forward to fall of 2021, when everything was opening back up, and again, finally, hockey season was about to start. But yet again, I sustained a lower body strain during practice and was out for the first couple of preseason games. That injury began an even harder battle with my mental health in correlation to injury anxiety. At one point, when I was recovering from my lower body strain, I actually banged my head on the ceiling going down the stairs. And I thought I'd given myself another concussion. I was under that much stress. But I realized and found out I was actually experiencing stress headaches. Later on that week, I visited the sports doctor and found out I was experiencing injury anxiety, causing my headaches, stomach aches, and fears about going on the ice again. Living in fear of a sport that you love and have found a blessing all your life really put a toll on me mentally. Most nights that month, I couldn't sleep due to tension headaches, upset stomach, terrifying dark thoughts swirling around my head. I could barely play without breaking down in tears until I'd finally had enough. I started talking to my coach, teammates, and they helped me find a sports psychologist as well as a therapist. My parents were, in fact, the biggest key to helping relieve my anxiety through listening, prayer, and God's word. I remember one day my mom sent me a letter, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind, Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That was my prayer every day through those months. I had no understanding of why I was so fearful. But all I needed was to posture my heart to God's truth, which transcends all understanding. As March of 2022 approached, I was struggling with anxiety when my hockey team season was ramping up and the playoffs were approaching. We weren't the league's favorites, but we all wanted to prove everyone wrong. We made it to the OUA finals, the Macaw Cup, which was against Nipissing, the same team I was concussed against in my first year. I was terrified. The biggest game of my hockey career, and I had to play Nipissing in their home arena. Even stepping on the ice for the pregame skate gave me knots in my stomach. But I could tell that God was saying to me that when I am weak, he is strong. His perfect love casts out all fear, and it was time to face the fear with the armor of God. That day, I had the best game of the season, and we won 3-1. Brock Women's Hockey was the Macaw Cup champions. Throughout my journey as a Christian, I've had many hills and valleys, but God has been faithful and beside me every step of the way. As I've been reflecting on and preparing for baptism, I've been wrestling with the thought of identity. Am I identified by what I do or what I love? Or am I identified by my past and all the mistakes I've made or the things I've gone through? And none of these are true. But then I began to freak out more and ponder, what is true? What am I supposed to be identified by? Well, through all this very unnecessary worrying and questioning, I realized that God had guided me and brought me to the answer. Getting baptized is the way of stating my true identity is in Christ. And that means, as John Mark Comer puts it, when you are drenched in the reality of God, you are incorporated into union with Christ, meaning that everything that is true about you, or true about Christ, is true about you. I'm in desperate need of a Savior, and I'm in awe of the fact that he's called me his beloved daughter, and now I'm prepared to declare that he is my Father and true King. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for sharing a big part of your life, and that's so encouraging. So let me ask you, Michaela, have you received forgiveness for your sin through Jesus?
Yes.
Is it your desire to walk in the new life that only Jesus has to offer you?
Yes.
Is it also your desire to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit with his people, the people of God, which is the local church?
Yes.
If that's your desire, then based upon Jesus' commandment and because you've requested it, we baptize you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and God's Spirit. And all God's people said together.
Thank you.
We're going to pray with Michaela in just a moment. But before we do, you may be here and wondering, I'm hearing these different things about God and about what he's doing in people's lives. And yet, maybe I'm at a certain spot in my relationship with God, or maybe I need to take a next step in my relationship with God, and how do I do that? And well, I would encourage you to sit down with one of our pastors and share, or even better yet, talk with Michaela and those people who have been sharing today, because we want to see you grow. We want to see you take those next steps, and we can help you do that. And so together, let's pray for Michaela, as she has declared her faith in Jesus and desire to walk with him. Lord, we thank you so much today for this truth that we've been hearing about, practicing this morning, that it's all about you, and we have so much to declare your praises for. We have so much to say thank you for. And so today, we come around Michaela, and we say thank you for giving her life. Thank you for embedding her in a family which has loved you and demonstrated that love for you through the ages, through the generations. And today we're coming together around her to encourage her one more time to see your blessing in her life, to thank you for how you've sustained her and held her through the years. Lord, we pray that today would be another marker, another milestone in her faith journey with you, one that would encourage her, one that would strengthen her for tomorrow, one that would be an increased testimony of her witness to you and of your goodness in her life. And so we thank you together for giving us Michaela. We pray that you would bless her richly as she heads back to Brock University for her final year. We pray that you would give her everything that she needs to be the disciple, the daughter, the child of God that you have already declared her to be. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Why don't you stand with us? We're going to thank God for what he's doing. Praise God. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in this desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
As we go from here, there is one last practice. Practice praise in creation. Because all of creation points to God. And just a reminder that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in all of creation. And so let's celebrate that today. Have a good week.